Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. All right. yes, all right. So, I'd like to welcome you to Lancaster and welcome to USCL and to our second spring 2018 meeting of the Palmetto College Campus's Faculty Senate. And we'll begin with a report from our Chancellor, Dr. Susan Elkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everybody. Should I say happy Friday the 13th? At least we all made it here and nobody had any problems. So we'll hope that everybody have a safe trip back and that we'll make this a lucky day on Friday the 13th as we wrap up the semester. And as always, I want to begin by thanking all of you for your work on the Senate. I know it takes a great deal of time and effort for the commitment to serve on the Senate. And here you are on Friday the 13th in the month of April, probably the very busiest month of the academic year. Would anybody second that? All right. So I've got five brief comments for you this morning, thoughts this morning. But before I begin, I also almost forgot to thank Dean Collins and the USCL team for hosting us today and for the beautiful fruit and the wonderful ham and biscuits and the things that we had to get started. And I know we'll have a nice lunch as well. And thank you for your hospitality in the new Founders Hall, right? All right, as I begin, item number one relates to some of the slides that you've seen kind of flashing on the screen since you entered. If you haven't happened to think about this, next week on Wednesday, April 18th, Palmetto College will have its official fifth anniversary. Officially, 5 years ago, on April 18th, we were at the State House launching the Palmetto College effort. So in celebration of our fifth anniversary, what you see on the screen are just multiple successes of all the campuses and of Palmetto College Online. About five highlights from each of the campuses over the last 5 years, as well as PC Online. And it's too long to just give the presentation, but we put it together and thought it can rotate. This morning, it may be distracting, so if we want to stop it when we continue reports, we can do that. But we'll also have it up at lunch because there are wonderful photos, wonderful highlights from each of the four campuses in Palmetto College Online as we all celebrate our successes of the first 5 years. Now, in conjunction with our five-year anniversary, oddly enough, the university decided to host the first annual Garnet Day of Giving. So they're doing a day of giving for all of USC, and amazingly, the date they chose for that was April the 18th, our birthday. So in conjunction with the day of giving, as we raise money, we've set the goal of establishing a $50,000, since we're talking about fives, a $50,000 scholarship endowment. So as people click and give on the Garnet Day of Giving for Palmetto College, we're asking that they give to a Palmetto College scholarship endowment so that we can give more and more scholarships to our wonderful students that we serve. So just wanted to bring that good news to you. And then the final thing is that as we celebrate for the fifth year, we're having just small celebrations on each of the campuses. We have new Palmetto College shirts that actually have the colors of the campus logos on the sleeve. So I've already visited Sockahatchee, last week on a Monday. Visited their commission, actually did a presentation to the commission on all the positive things that have transpired in the 5 years, and then had a celebration with the faculty the next day. So I'll be doing that on each of the campuses between now and I think the last of the commission meetings is in mid-May. So I'll see you again with a birthday cake and with some shirts before the semester ends as we wrap things up with our five-year celebration. All right, number two, I always want to report to you on enrollment to let you know how things are going because we all realize that serving students is why we're all here. And also the enrollment certainly generates a large part of our budget. since we receive a very small portion, about 10% of our budget from the state in the state of South Carolina. So our spring enrollment, again, we had records. Our head count went from 3,956 to 4,076. And I think that may be the first time we went over 4,000 in a spring headcount. We've got to dig back into the archives and see. But that was up 138, or 3.5 percentage points over last spring. The FTE was up from 2694 to 2784, or up 119, for a 4.47% increase in FTE. And of course, FTE, that full-time equivalent, is really what generates the dollars. So again, a good healthy increase there. And I always like to look at, you know, the comparison with Columbia and the comparison with the comprehensive institutions. And again, our percent increases were the greatest percent increases on the page. So thank you for all that excellent work with our students and helping to increase enrollment. Palmetto College Online was also up from 854 to the very first time that we have over 1,000. 1,002 students were enrolled in Palmetto College Online on the census date of March 21st, and that was a 17% increase. So Palmetto College Online is going well in addition. And there is a slide that talks about the Palmetto College Online numbers. The other one number that I will mention, I think I've reminded you, but it's always good to know that we've now crossed the 1,000 mark for the number of graduates in our bachelor's degree online programs. So we have 1,015. Usually spring is, we usually have a very good crop of graduates in the spring. So I expect we'll get up to maybe 1,200 or so after spring commencement. But over 1,000 enrolled this semester, and over 1,000 have graduated with bachelor's degrees since we started. All right, my third item is just an update on a few of the joint efforts, this joint Senate efforts that we've worked on. And I think always one of our highlights from the 5 years, one of our biggest highlights, was the creation of really an office to work with Senate affairs, and the hiring of none other than Gene Carano. Now, could we all have a nod to say that Gene Carano certainly was a wonderful addition to Palmetto College and to our Senate efforts? And I would be remiss, I didn't tell her I was going to do this, but I think somebody had a birthday yesterday. Who would it have been? No more birthdays. Well, she had an anniversary, probably the fifth anniversary of her 19th birthday, maybe. But anyway, happy birthday to Jean. So every time you get a chance, please thank Jean for the great work that she does in keeping us organized and all that she does for the campuses and the Senate. Also, I'm excited that this afternoon we'll close this last Senate meeting of the year with our faculty awards program. And it's wonderful to stand here and say that not only do we have a Duffy Award for Outstanding Teaching, but now we also have the Plyler Award for Outstanding Service and the Shaw Award for Excellence in Scholarship. So getting to the point where we had those three awards was something. Ray's sitting back there nodding. I think Ray was chair of the Welfare Committee on the very beginning and said, hey, why don't we see if we can do awards in all three areas? And so last year, I think, was the first time that the Shaw Award was presented, the year before, the Plyler Award. So this year, it's wonderful to end our day today together with presentation of all three awards. So we look forward to that. Also, we've continued to work on library resources over and over. We do have a new pilot now where the library is helping to work on getting additional resources. Some of you may even be in the pilot project, but the Human Resources Office is working on that with the library. So we continue to try to do what we can do to make sure that you have the tools that you need, especially for your scholarship, for you and your students. Faculty salaries. I want you to know that the deans and I have continued to work with the Welfare Committee. We've worked with Chairman Rashad continually throughout the year on faculty salaries, the faculty salary study. We'll continue to do so next year as well as we plan for the future. So thank you all for all your efforts on the faculty salary issue, and I want you to know how committed we are to doing everything we can do to make this a great place to work. a last item that we've worked on with the Senate, and I want to thank Tom Bragg as past chair of the Senate for agreeing last year to chair an effort on the faculty assembly. You know, the faculty assembly, many of you knew the history better than I did because I think the first one started before I got here. Many of you have said the first one, really, the purpose was to talk about the launching of Palmetto College. And so we continued to try to find a good date, a good format, to do something that was meaningful, but it was difficult to get the pulse of what everybody really felt like we needed to do with the faculty assembly. So Dr. Bragg, in his role of past chair, agreed to take on working with all the FO chairs to actually collect data about, you know, what are people's feelings on the faculty assembly? What should we do with this? And so he submitted a report that the full report will be posted to the website that shares what each campus thought. But the consensus was that we maybe have the assembly biannually. You know, not every year, but let's look at doing something every other year. Let's do it maybe in the early fall. Might be the best time to do it when the semester's getting started, and use an agenda, a format similar to the very last one that we did, and that some of you were involved in that last one that we actually hosted, where we asked the faculty organization chairs to put the agenda together. So instead of somebody in Columbia sitting there putting all these items on the agenda, we actually got the FO chairs together and said, you know, what do you think the faculty want to hear as a part of faculty assembly? So I think that one was received better. The attendance was still fairly minimal, but one of the things that had happened is it was back to back. One Friday was Senate, the next Friday was assembly. It's hard to take two Fridays. So we really appreciate all of the FO chairs and all of you that gave Dr. Bragg some input on what we really need to do going forward with the assembly. So we'll begin working on that again, ask the FO chairs to help us plan and do something on an every other year basis. We'll do a next one, we'll evaluate it, and then we'll figure out where we go from there. All right, just two more quick items. The fifth item is short, but this fourth item will probably cause you to kind of scratch your head, as it has caused everybody, probably, in higher education to kind of scratch their heads. And it's a complicated issue that I don't want to spend a lot of time on, but I brought it up at our last executive committee meeting and then asked, do you all think this is worthy of a few minutes at Senate? And the consensus from the executive committee was, yeah, why don't you give us just a little overview of this. So all of you are aware that we have a Commission on Higher Education in South Carolina that supposedly oversees higher education. So the South Carolina CHE, as they're commonly known. A lot of people kind of question what their role is. I think they question what their role is. The legislature questions what their role is. They're trying to figure out a relevant role. That's probably the most important thing I can say to you. They're trying to figure out their relevant role. They have a new executive director and president CEO who's been there probably a little over a year now. And so one of his first efforts was to do a strategic plan for the CHE that they've called the Public Agenda for Higher Education in South Carolina. So they've been going throughout the state doing town hall meetings talking about this public agenda. And then here's where the scratching your head thing comes in. Because the basic message of that public agenda is we've got too many higher education institutions in the state and we're spending too much money on higher education. Did y'all get that? So the institution, the entity that's supposed to be helping higher education in the state is saying, well, we've got too many institutions, we're spending too much money, there's not enough students, we're on a crash course for a collision. So, I mean, everybody in higher education, President Pastides has done a lot to kind of lead this charge, is like, wait a minute, you know, this is the entity that's supposed to be helping higher education, but you're going around the state with this message of, you know, that's negative about higher ed. So there's been a lot of effort on behalf of all the presidents of all the institutions in the state to try to kind of put this to bed and say, look, this is not right. This shouldn't be done. So lots of things are going on to try to help change that message. But probably one positive thing that comes out of the message is this new president and CEO feels like online education is where the state needs to go. So he's very complimentary of Palmetto College. He actually was quoted, Dean Collins and a team from here were up at Rock Hill in the town hall meeting, where he actually said Palmetto College was the best thing that had happened in higher education in South Carolina in a decade. So he's really positive about what we're doing. However, here's where the real kicker comes in. They've decided that the CAG needs to offer online general education courses. So let me say that again. They've got this effort called SC Core that would have the commission actually offering lower division general education courses, like is done in Georgia. So think about that just a minute. So that would mean that the commission is competing with all the institutions offering gen ed courses, and then the added bonus is they're going to do this, or they're saying they're going to do this, at $170 a credit hour, which is much lower than all the institutions charge. So undercutting the cost of what the institution's charging. And then, amazingly, they had a flyer that actually got out in public saying that they were starting this summer. So that's why we're having this little brief update this morning. So we don't want you to hear something this summer or see something that says the Commission on Higher Education is offering English 101 at a reduced rate online. And they basically are saying they would use unused seats in courses that campuses are already offering. So this is a very complex, very confusing issue that all the presidents are really trying to say this does not need to happen. So I just wanted you to know this is out there. Now, the last real positive thing that has occurred, because there was a flyer out there saying, students, you can enroll, and we actually sent out some secret shoppers. So some students trying to enroll, and they got as far as seeing classes that they could take from Clemson and USC Aiken that Clemson and Aiken didn't even know was out there on a website. So the students got that far with registering until one of the commission committees that Dr. Nesmith actually represents us on, which is an academic program committee, met a couple of weeks ago, and they at least passed a motion that CHE could not offer any courses unless they went through the very same course approval process that anybody else has to go through to offer courses. So we hope that has put a little bit more of a stop to it, because there's been nothing approved. They've kind of backed up and said, well, we're just considering this. That flyer was, you know, on a website that was supposed to be behind a firewall. However, it was out in public and people were attempting to register. So, again, I know this is really complex, very confusing. The deans have been well aware of what's going on. So if you have other questions during lunch or, you know, later in the day, we can talk more about it. But hopefully this is at least on hold and maybe is not going to occur, because I don't think anybody in higher education in the state of South Carolina feels like that's a good thing to do. And we wanted you to hear from it from us. Carmela?
What about the presentation?
You guys are sitting there asking all those same questions that... So Dean Catalano and I first heard this presented in a room full of the technical college presidents. Then I sat with the chancellors of the other USC institutions and President Pastides and all the other four-year presidents in a room and heard the same presentation. And you better believe, so that was the first question that was asked, Carmela. How can CAG offer courses? They're not an institution. They're not accredited. What is going on here? And then the next question was probably one that's on your mind. Well, who are the faculty? CHE doesn't have faculty members. Who's going to teach these courses? And then came that notion of, oh, well, these will just be extra seats in existing courses. You know, so if you're teaching, you know, an introduction to history course and you got 15 people enrolled, but yet you can have 25 people, they'd put 10 more people in it at a reduced rate from what we charged. I mean, just all kinds of crazy things. Dave?
Would this only be for the public schools, or would they potentially partner with private schools?
That's what we all thought. When this first occurred, we kept thinking, I mean, none of the publics would confess that they were working on it with them. I mean, we've been accused. I mean, I had the technical college president call me up and say, Susan, are you all working with them on this? They're out there giving the impression that you're working with them on this. And I said, well, Tim, I'm really glad you called, because no, we're not working on it with them. And they're out there giving the impression that you're working on it with them. Are you doing that? No, we're not doing that. So everybody around the table, we all kept wondering, okay, one of these institutions is snitching us out, and somebody is working on this behind the scenes. And then we thought, well, if it's not a public, maybe it's a for-profit. So we all suspected maybe Strayer or Phoenix or somebody. But apparently that's not the case. But those are the kinds of things we've all been sitting there trying to figure out, okay, who is doing this? So all the presidents are actually meeting April 23rd, a week from Monday. President Pastides has convened a meeting with all the presidents around the state, and this is probably the top item, is the commission and this whole notion of SC Corps. So again, really bizarre, very confusing. Hopefully something we'll never have to worry about. But, you know, we've been working on this for 6 months, and every time we'd work on it, we thought, oh, this has gone to bed. You know, this is not going to pop up again. And then the next thing you know, here's a flyer advertising we're starting in summer of 18. Not we're planning this year, but we're starting next, you know, this summer, like in a month from now. So I'll be happy to answer any other questions on that right now. Matt?
Who was the person who said Palmetto College is the best thing that happened to South Carolina, or something like that?
The actual CAG executive. His title is executive director, I think, / president, CEO. Schultz. His name is Jeff Schiltz, S-C-H-I-L-T-Z. And I mean, I knew he was a big fan of online education. I knew he was a big fan of Palmetto College. Because the first time I actually met with him, before I could say a word, he drew the state on a whiteboard and says, well, I can't understand why we can't have everybody working on this together. You know, Palmetto College is great. I can't understand why we can't expand it and just have all the institutions working together. And I said, he said, why can't we do that? And I said, you know, that's a question for all the presidents. I said, I think they tried something like that before we launched Palmetto College, and it didn't work. So, you know, I guess the good thing is Palmetto College is being seen in a really good light. And we're able to say, look, we don't need to duplicate these efforts. Palmetto College is already doing this. Now, I don't know, Dean Collins and Catalano, both of you have been in meetings, actually, hearing. They actually hadn't been in the Sumter area yet, and they didn't go to Allendale or Walterboro. But it was actually really, really good, because both Dean Catalano and Dean Collins were at Rock Hill, and the best thing that occurred was we brought a Palmetto College student. And I'll let both of y'all chime in just a minute on the student.
Palmetto College student who's in BOL, and the student didn't have a chance to speak, and said that he could not, it's a non-traditional age student, he could not have come back to school and completed this degree without the flexibility of Palmetto College. And so he had a great little testimony to the initiative, and it was very moving, and I think people saw the power of it, Palmetto College.
And then didn't they say, you're the exact kind of student
yes,
we're trying
right.
to reach. You're exactly the kinds of students yeah. we're trying to reach. Well, Palmetto College is reaching them.
Yeah.
And then Catalina, I think you were able to share some historical perspective with them at that meeting that they didn't have. And then the financial aid director here did a great job too. I've heard people talk about what an excellent job he did. John?
You talk about historical perspective rather than just saying I'm old. That's very nice of
you.
I appreciate it.
Oh, sorry. It's your wisdom we're after.
Yes,
we're right. seeking your wisdom.
You know, I thought it went very badly for the CAG and for Mr. I say his name wrong every time. Sometimes on purpose. Schultz. Anyway, they did not receive a good result from either Palmetto College students or the public in general. And you know, I just can't imagine this going anywhere. But it's a shame that you have to fight against the CAG, and this isn't new. Those of us who've been around a long time, I remember back when Fred Shaheen was in charge over 30 years ago, talking about closing down our campuses because there are too many, you know. So it's not anything new.
Yeah. Just what version, 2.0, 3.0, 4.0,
that's right.
Whatever. But, you know, it's substantial enough that this has been one of the key, if not the key talking point for President Pasdides. I know the people who sit on Columbia committees have reported out that every time they go somewhere, you know, this is one of his top agenda items as well. So we just wanted to share that with you. Cajal, do you have a question?
Do they have legislative backing? Who is it that oversees them?
That's a great question. They don't seem to have legislative backing. As a matter of fact, probably a lot of what they're doing is trying to position themselves to try to get legislative backing and funding. They don't have funding for CHE, so they're trying to figure out a funding mechanism, I think. David?
The governor appoints all the members of that commission. I thought the governor was a friend to the campus. I'm thinking out loud.
Yeah, again, I think they're just trying to jockey for some political power is a good bit of this. And actually, Brian White, who's the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee, has been very outspoken against CHE and about possibly even doing away with them. So I think there's just a lot of that kind of thing going on there. As our legislative liaison is a person who's new this year, and he's always using acronyms, and he said, well, you know, that's just DSR. And I said, well, what is DSR? And he said, it's Desperately Seeking Relevance. So who knows what will come of it, but and I didn't want to take forever to explain it, but you can't do it in a sentence or two. It's a pretty complex situation, but I think we've hit the high points. Right, Deans, anything else y'all think we need to chime in? So at least you've heard about it, and hopefully it'll go away, and this will be the last time we'll ever talk about it. But I did not want to end on that note, so my final note is I'll just say that we're really pleased that of course, the University of South Carolina new 5-year strategic plan is out there on the books. I think the board still hasn't completely approved it, but it is out there with goals and metrics. And thanks to Dean Carmichael and Henny Van Bulk as past chair of the Senate for co-chairing a long-range strategic planning committee for Palmetto College. They've had a first meeting. They're working right now on this year's blueprint to kind of get an understanding of the blueprint process because that's actually changed in the last year or so. And so they're giving us some input on this year's plan, and then we'll be looking over the summer, next fall, at a 5-year plan, and we'll certainly be seeking your input next fall as we work on that. So again, it's been such an honor and a privilege to be a part of the first 5 years of Palmetto College and to have the chance to work with all of you as such wonderful professional colleagues. You know, I never want to be at the podium, and I know you probably get tired of hearing me say thank you, but I just always want you to know how grateful I am to be here to do something that I think we all so share in the mission of Palmetto College, and that's our opportunity to serve students who might not otherwise have a chance to get a bachelor's degree. And I can never thank you enough for what you do as faculty members, as well as for what you do for the Senate. So thanks again. Have a great rest of the year. So I know within about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll have all these things finished, and then I can say, have a great summer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So our next report would be from the Dean of Stinnett University and our Associate Provost, Dr. Chris Nesmith, but he's absent today. But he has submitted his report, so it will be included with the rest of the minutes. Okay, the deans have submitted the reports electronically, and as we are here in Lancaster at USCL, Dean Collins has asked for a couple of minutes to welcome and address you. So, Dean Walt Collins, USC Lancaster.
Good morning again, everyone. I just wanted, I will have submitted my report, official report, in a few days. But I did want to say again, welcome to everyone. Welcome to USC Lancaster. We're glad you're here today. And I want to remind you of a couple things, and thanks to Gene for sending out my message earlier this week. We hope you will have a few minutes today to see some of the work of our students, faculty, and staff that is on display in this building downstairs. This is the main floor, but if you go just beyond where we enjoyed breakfast and go take that central staircase down to the art studio and art gallery, some of the work from the earlier part of the semester is on display just one floor down. If you have a few minutes, you want to head down there today. Similarly, if you go down the sidewalk back this way, to the right when you go out of the building. The library is the next building down. And inside the library, we have just celebrated the Research and Productive Scholarship Week for students, faculty, and staff. And there's several exhibits and displays there that if you have a few minutes today, either before or after lunch, I hope you can walk through and just see those exhibits. The library will stay open an extra hour today. We normally close at noon on Fridays, but they're going to stay open until 1. So even if you have a few minutes right after you eat to head over there, we hope you can take the time to do that. Welcome. We're glad you're here.
Thank you very much. All right. So as we move into our committee meetings, they will continue as outlined on our agenda with one exception. The deans will be meeting in the library conference room. But all the rest will go forward as already outlined. All right, any questions, anything else to add before we continue? All right, thank you all. We'll move on to committee meetings and we'll see you for lunch.